It's been a while since Kaisenomics author and informal market specialist Gigi Alcock has introduced us to one of the Kaisenpreneurs. And today we're going to set that right when we meet Tsitso Tsetai from Lokshin Auctions, auctioneering coming into the townships. And Gigi tells us that, well, we got a lot to look forward to here. Mr. Alcock, last time we saw each other was in London in mid-May when you were presenting to a very appreciative audience over there about the opportunities that exist in South Africa and an area that is unexplored. I noticed, though, that this continued, I suppose you would call it misinformation from Stats SA about unemployment in South Africa is still going on. We're now supposedly at the highest unemployment rate in the world, but you take issue with that.
Hi, Alec. Yeah. So I think there was a headline the other day from some UCT academics or something like that saying that Stats SA census figures are fiction. So, I mean, if that goes for the unemployment figures, I guess the same would apply. But you know, outside of kind of making mockery of the figures, you know, there's a number of other indicators that recent indicators that are really point to this. So one of them was a recent Africa Scope, which is a research organization. Africa Scope did some research with youth who claimed they were unemployed, and they did a fairly large sample. And 41% of the youth who said that they were unemployed earned up to 15,000 rand a month from some kind of hustles, various different types of work. So, I mean, there you go. Just on the youth who are recorded and when asked, say I'm unemployed, because you know, as I've said in the past, a job is a payslip. If you don't have a job, a pay slip, you're considered not to have a job. And so any other form of income or employment is generally not classified as a formal job. And that's always been my argument, is that when we talk about unemployment figures, we should put the word formal in front of it, because, you know, outside of pay slips. Another really cool stat I saw the other day was from South African General Household Survey, which is a survey that happens every year for the last 20, 30, 40 years. I saw a headline that said, shock and horror, 23% of social grant recipients claim that the social grant is their only form of income. And it was put there as a kind of like, oh no, how terrible is this? And I'm like, wait a minute, are you telling me 77% of social grant recipients, the social grant is not their only form of income, which then implies that, you know, almost 80% of social grant recipients have another form of income? And we've seen this. I mean, I was chatting to a lady in Khayelitsha a while ago, and she was renting out 6 back rooms and earning 3,000 rand cash per room. Also earning a social grant of 1,000 rand a month. My point is that it indicates a number of things. First of all, you know, we often have this misconception that a social grant recipient, once they get a social grant, they just become lazy and sit around doing nothing. So clearly, a lot of them are actually taking that social grant and using it to develop some sort of business, whether that's backroom rental or whatever it might be. The other great thing is it just shows this entrepreneurial nature of South Africans. We kind of, people often say to me, I wish, people were more entrepreneurial in the townships and rural areas. And how's that? You know, 80% of social grant recipients aren't just sitting back and relying on it. They've clearly got other incomes. The youth, 40+% of them are earning up to 15,000 rand. Isn't that an extraordinarily and very positive thing that we have an entrepreneurial culture? And we should be appreciating that and measuring it better.
It is indeed. And many of those in the formal economy think that because of the way the world was when they were making their way, in other words, you got a job with a bank or you got a job wherever with a company or you went to university and got a degree and then you automatically were employed somewhere, that was the way to be. But many of us know that the great fortunes, the great wealth creators in the world, are virtually all of them are university dropouts. You can start with Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, and the list goes on and on. So there's a disconnect between reality and what's happening practically. And I think Tsitso will be able to give us that a little bit of, well, we'll learn more about that when we hear his story. Why did you want us to meet him today?
Yeah, so first of all, Alec, you know, Steve Jobs started in a garage, and Tsitso starting in a garage as well. And why would it be any different in terms of the final end result? And, you know, we often like sit there and talk about, you know, I was reading a bio of Larry Ellison of Oracle, and extraordinary, you know, and had no formal real, you know, tertiary education, started in an informal way. And we should be actually admiring these and creating opportunities to allow them to go from a container or a garage or a back room in a township to the next level. I also think that the often, you know, people say, oh, like townships, oh, that's kind of spaza shops. And, you know, we've seen a lot of people in our Gassipreneur episodes with you, from bakeries to beauty salons to backroom rental and so on and so forth. And I just found, first of all, Tsitso got hold of me because he saw one of my chats on BizNews. So the most, people in the townships are watching you, Alec. The second part, and more importantly, is that I just found this was quite extraordinary, an auctioneering business in a township and a group of three entrepreneurs, doing this out of, and I would never have thought of it as a business. And then when I chatted to the guys, I was like, actually, a township auctioneering business even more makes more sense than anywhere else. So, yeah, over to you, maybe, Tsitso.
Hi, Alec. Thank you for having me today. With regards to auctions in townships, if I may say, it is one area that has been underlooked by the industry and suppliers of the auction industry. In townships, you find many people that use assets. My mother used to be a baking person. She used to sew dishwasher. She was selling cool drinks. So she had always been a hustling, an entrepreneur in a township. And most of the items that she had purchased, like the sewing machine, it wasn't a brand new machine. It was a machine which was bought from someone else and who had potentially then bought it from an auction house. So starting an auction house in a township only makes sense because brand new items normally are quite exorbitant, and people in townships don't normally afford that. And having a auction in a township where entrepreneurs are able to pick up machinery that they can make a living with at a cost-effective price made sense. So then I wondered as to why has it not been done since 30 years of South Africa's democracy. And then we thought that maybe we should try it.
Well, it's so interesting you talk like this because I think back often, I tell people of our time in the UK. We lived in England for 3 years from 2016 to 2019. And I can remember going on the weekends to the rubbish dump and dropping off the rubbish, the garden refuse and so on. And there they have these huge piles of used clothes, used appliances, stuff that is so valuable here in our country, but there it's rubbish. It gets thrown into landfills. And I often wondered why there's such a big disconnect between the rich North and the not so rich South. But now you take it one step further into auctioneering. A lot of people, if they were able to source secondhand goods, would do so if they can feel it and touch it and look at it. And clearly that's the advantage you would have with your company.
You see, Alec, I've never traveled. I only hear stories. In America, what I hear is that they have these technologies that when they're out of line, in fact, if it's broken in your home, they don't even try to go pawn it off like we do. They put it in the street and it's general waste. And in South Africa, if that were to happen, I would pick it up, find a way that I can fix it and go resell it. I know that I can sell it back in my hood in the township. And I think what you're speaking to is the haves and have-nots. There are people that when they have, that they don't, they don't realize that they have items that what you regard as trash and it's useless to you, it's probably a pot of gold to someone in the townships. I remember my mom having picked up a bowl because she was making buns. I remember having her pick up about 10 pens, deep pens, that she was going to do buns with. She was as happy as, you know, as you could ever imagine. As to she picked it up, I think at the time, but it was a measly price that she picked it up at. Whoever that she picked it up from no longer saw the use of those items. So in many instances, the very items in this very same South Africa, if you look around your house, there's something that you are not using. I mean, you haven't even touched it for the past 10 years. It's just there as something that reminds you that I once lived in 1970, wherever, you know. And if you bring it over to an auction in a township, someone might have use for it and employ 2 to 3 more people.
Interestingly, Alec, I mean, there's also a lot of intra-township opportunities. So it's not just kind of taking it from one area to another. You know, there's a lot of stuff where people have, or they're storing it in back rooms, and Atsitso and his team go and source it, and then part of their offering in terms of their auctions. But it's also quite crazy because it's like when I was chatting to the guys, you know, it's even township houses, you know. So, you know, if a bank repossesses a township house, what's the opportunity to go on to an auction and within the township, so that someone like Lauction Auctions are auctioning it as opposed to it going somewhere and being auctioned at an auction that's far away from that township. So how do you create these kind of circular economies that also incorporate both, you know, corporates as well as these entrepreneurs? You know, I think it is such a nice concept, the circular economy, and bringing in everything from the corporate who has things to offload to, or secondhand things or repossess items, all the way through to the township guys who are doing the same. And it was very interesting to me. Some of their most popular things were things like tools, which talks to the Gasi township, Gasi mechanics sector and many other of these sectors. And those, it's quite interesting, the different stuff that that is being auctioned by Tito and his team.
Well, maybe give us a little more color on your business. Where do you get your products from, and how many auctions would you typically hold in a month?
And like the auction industry in itself has not had an auction house in a township, so getting assets has been quite a challenge for us. So we advertise within our communities, telling people that if you have any unused or unwanted assets in your home, please bring it out to us so that we can then sell it off for you, and you, then you can have the money that we raise off of an auction. So the challenge first was to actually educate people as to how does an auction operate, that it is not a pawn shop, that you give me the asset and then I immediately give you the money. Because I can give you 20 rand now, but when I go to auction, I'll pick up 100 rand. So if you could trust me that I could take it to auction, I'll call people and then sell it. And then we had some assistance from the Institute of Auctioneers, the South African Institute of Auctioneers, that invited other auction houses to donate some assets so that we could launch Lokshin Auctions. We then did that, and after having done that, we built up a small database of buyers and garnered some interest with the community around and the business community, which was around us in Vosloorus. So,
and so you had the first township auction ever?
Yes.
When was that?
This was in April, Mambara week of the 20th and the 25th. No one had money, but that was our best performing auction. So when we launched that auction, it then caught onto the interest of other individuals that have items in their homes that they would like to sell off. People that need money, that they want to get rid of some of their assets. And so we started. And it is now a responsibility that we have to ensure that we source assets that my community is looking for in townships.
Something else just occurred to me as we were talking. The fastest growing area in the property sector is storage units. So people are putting stuff into storage, which, as you said earlier, they may not have looked at for the last 10 years. If there was a more thriving auctioneering sector, and in particular for the majority of South Africans, as you say, in the townships, it's only very, very recently that you've started moving there. You would think that you wouldn't need all these storage units because those products could actually get back into the market as well, and there'd be less waste than we're seeing at the moment. So there's a broader, maybe a higher purpose to all of this, Gigi.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, one of the interesting things Sitso touched on was the ability to take a product that's broken, and you know how many township electricians and so on there are, and you could get that product which just has some basic problem. That's either been returned to a retailer or some person is out of warranty and it's not working, and then we get a township electrician to fix it up, and then Tietzel's Lokshin Auctions then auction it off. And again, you know, you're creating multiple opportunities through the system. So I think that, you know, and that's what really struck me with the kind of idea. It was like it suddenly touched so many boxes, and particularly the one around things like, you know, or sometimes dented products, you know, and they can fix it up or remove the dent, and there it is. So, you know, there's such a nice kind of range of things one can do. And it's really creating access in two directions.
Tito, what's your ambition? Where are you going to be taking Lokshin Auctions?
Honestly, would like to get the attention of asset-based finance institutions that are able to give finance products to township residents, but do not give black auctioneers an opportunity to sell within their own space. Whenever that you see a house or a building that is a township that is getting repossessed, it is not resold within the space of the township. There's about 500 or more townships in South Africa, and not one of them have been entrusted by any large corporate to sell items through the auction process. Properties are sold at a boardroom in an established area, making townships look dangerous and unattractive. And that narrative, I'd like Lokshin Auctions to actually fight that and try to find big corporates that can leverage the services that we are providing as Lokshin Auctions to sell off items that are return stock, they are damaged goods or unwanted goods or obsolete redundant items that are lying in their backgrounds. There are many mining companies in South Africa. I'd like to open up an opportunity there where we would be the first black-owned mining company, auctioneering company that would be disposing of mining assets. We would like to be the walking story that the auctioneering industry is transforming and that other industries are supporting the inclusion of black players into their industries.
I think maybe to add to that, because we had a great lunch in Phosphorus and had mahodu tripe. It was delicious. But when we were chatting with the guys, it's really also been about trying to make this localized in each township. So, you know, so it's not just, it's more about a township based, am I right?
Yeah.
You know, township based and township by township. They've been in Vosloorus and Toboza. And recently you were in Guatemala, which is also on the East Rand, and wanting to roll township by township, you know. And I think there's quite something nice about, again, that thing I was talking about, the circular economy or retaining, incomes and businesses within a certain environment. And so the idea of having multiple auctions in each separate township on a regular basis really appealed to me.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a huge opportunity. And although we do want to do good and people do want to support in their hearts anyway, the transformation of South Africa, there's nothing quite like having a transformative benefit of something that makes business sense. And clearly this makes business sense. If you, just to kind of close off with, the point I was making about the UK, often looking at those dumps, I thought, man, if only we could fill a couple of containers and bring them to South Africa, there would be, from zero, there's got to be some value to it. But I think there are probably import surcharges and all kinds of things to worry about. But maybe closer to home, the people in Bryanston would have items that to them is worthless, that they would throw away or certainly not even put a value to it. Are you doing that? Are you tapping into the richer or the higher income communities to say to them, open your eyes, guys, there is a massive market here that might be interested in bidding on goods that you no longer find useful? And by the way, isn't it better to have this piece of equipment used by somebody than just being sterilized on the side? Is there any way you can open up that market from a practical sense?
Look, we are talking to everyone and anyone. I have thrown away all my shirts and I wear only this one and a couple more, red one or this one, just so that we could find more people that have things that they do not want anymore, to teach others that are in other townships to have auction houses that can serve the same purpose that we are doing in our own township. We are very happy to help anybody set up their own practice, their own auction practice in any township. As long as you're talking a township, we are very happy to assist you. We are talking to big corporates. We are talking to individuals. We are talking to GG. We are talking to anybody that would ask, that would want to help us develop some form of a ecosystem where we could get people, get hands on their assets and start working. So anybody that we meet, we speak that same language.
It's a tie of Lokshin Auctions, GG Alcock, our man with his finger on the pulse on the new opportunities in South Africa. And I'm Alec Hogg from Biznews.com.